In high school, popularity is often more important than good grades for some students. But not everyone can be a prom queen or captain of the football team, and that may be a good thing. In her new book, Alexandra Robbins writes that today's high school losers are often tomorrow's success stories. The book is called The Geek Shall Inherit the Earth, and Alexandra Robbins is in our studio. Welcome to the program.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Were you a high school misfit?
I wouldn't call myself a misfit. I was what's known as a floater, which means I could sit at the edge of most cafeteria tables, but I was never a part of any one group.
You spent 10 years analyzing the behavior of high school students. What drew you to the subject?
Well, this subject in particular, I was drawn to because I lecture a lot at schools around the country, and I kept meeting students who felt hopeless or felt like something was wrong with them simply because they didn't sit at the popular table. They thought that reflected something about themselves, and it was affecting their self-worth. So I wanted to write this book to get across the message that, number one, being excluded in high school or middle school doesn't mean that anything's wrong with you. And number two, popularity also doesn't make you happy.
Hmm. You present what you call the quirk theory. What is the quirk theory?
Ah, I love it. Quirk theory. So many of the differences that cause students to be excluded in school are actually the same qualities or skills that other people are going to admire, respect, or value about that person in adulthood and outside of the school setting.
There are some real-world examples of dorky high school kids who are successful today. Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, Bruce Springsteen was an outsider in school, and he has said that he started a band because he was on the outside looking in.
And J.K. Rowling?
J.K. Rowling has said that she was bullied in school. She was a daydreamer and had her nose in books all the time, much like some of her characters today.
Tim Gunn.
Tim Gunn was made fun of because he liked to make things. Now he makes things for a living. He's famous because of it. He's a fashion icon, and his catchphrase is "Make it work."
You followed 7 high school students through a school year. Can you give us some brief examples of who they were or what they represented?
Yeah, what I did is I followed 6 outsiders and 1 popular cheerleader throughout a school year. The outsiders included the loner, the gamer, the nerd, the new girl, the band geek, and the weird girl. I followed the popular cheerleader to get the opposite side of the story, and that turned out to be one of the most interesting stories, I think.
Tell me about it.
Well, she was in the popular crowd. She had been a queen bee, and yet she was struggling with the way her clique demanded things of its members.
So was she beginning then to know what an outsider felt like?
She didn't realize it at the time. In fact, what I ended up doing is I ended up giving each of the main characters a challenge in the middle of the year. I didn't begin the book expecting to do that, but I saw so clearly that this girl needed to get out of the popular clique in order to regain her self-esteem. And I realized she thought it was impossible. The only way I could get her to do it was to say, this is an official challenge for the book. Then she did it.
Interesting. And what kind of challenge did you give, say, the gamer?
The gamer was a classic underachiever. He was failing school, in danger of not graduating, but he longed for a connection. So I was trying to think of a challenge that would motivate him both to turn his academics around and also that would give him some sort of connection. So I challenged him to switch from the gamer group to the nerd group. Students today think that they can't switch groups, but it turns out you can. You just have to give people a chance.
And what did you give to the nerd?
The nerd, actually, he was the one person who decided he didn't want to do a challenge because he had given up on his high school social life altogether. So many students have so many wonderful things going for them, but they don't realize it. They don't see it because when you're mired in that high school group, you start to see yourself as you think other people see you. Mm-hmm. And that can be distressing.
Does the school itself contribute to these divisions between insiders and outsiders?
Absolutely. In fact, you hear so much about schools trying to change the bullying, the clique warfare, the tension in schools, and they don't realize that they are doing things that end up contributing to the hierarchy and end up telling students essentially who should be picked on and who shouldn't.
Really, how would they do something like that?
Well, it turns out that I did a lot of research into social science and the psychological study of popularity. And it turns out there are 2 kinds of popularity. There's perceived popularity, which is based on reputation, and there's sociometric popularity, which basically means the students who are liked. Until recently, psychologists hadn't made that distinction. They just assumed that they could ask students who they wanted to spend time with, tally up the votes, and the students with the most votes were considered the most popular. But that's not the way it is, as any student who knows the difference between what they call mean popular and nice popular can tell you. So what happens is there are three elements to perceived popularity. A student has to be visible, recognizable, and influential. Well, who do you think the schools are thrusting in front of the student body as people who are visible, influential, and recognizable? It's the athletes. It's the people at the pep rallies. It's the cheerleaders.
Is there anything teachers can do?
There are so many things teachers can do, from pairing unlikely students in class to making sure they don't treat students in different cliques, different ways. Also, probably the biggest surprise in my research was that there are teacher cliques out there. And this is happening even in schools that are paying thousands of dollars to try and curb bullying among students. Well, the students see it's going on among the teachers. So schools have to address that as well.
Given the popularity of, like, Glee, Napoleon Dynamite, Big Bang Theory, and the fact that things that were once geeky are now cool, things like video games and science fiction, fantasy games, and the amazing success of Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook and Bill Gates with Microsoft and Steve Jobs with Apple. Have the geeks already inherited the earth?
I think in the adult world, they're getting there. I think people are much more accepting and much more embracing of differences. And that's why quirk theory ends up working.
Alexandra Robbins is the author of The Geeks Shall Inherit the Earth, Popularity, Quirk Theory, and Why Outsiders Thrive After High School. Thank you so much for coming in, Alexandra.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.